beginning, Jayapataka Maharaj just mentioned how Srila Prabhupada was in Rishikesh, and from Rishikesh he came to Vrindavan. I was just remembering those days. Srila Prabhupada's condition was, physical condition was apparently bad. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee and his body is transcendental. So, you know, his body couldn't have been bad. But this was Srila Prabhupada's pastime. And Srila Prabhupada was in Rishikesh. We had a house on the bank of the Ganges. The house was arranged by Ramakrishna Bajaj, of the Bajaj scooter people, and Sriman Narayan, he was the governor of Madras at that time. And they came to see Srila Prabhupada one day in Bombay, and when they saw Srila Prabhupada's condition was so bad, they suggested, why don't you go to Rishikesh? The weather there is very nice, and maybe your health will improve. Srila Prabhupada liked the idea, and because he wanted to be next to the Ganges, and he never went to Rishikesh before. So Srila Prabhupada immediately agreed, and within a few days they arranged this house, which is actually the best house in Rishikesh. It's a two-story building right on the bank of the Ganges called Ganga Darshan, or View of the Ganges. And it's a small, the house is there in the, on the foothills of the Himalayas, are quite small. You don't see big houses there. Mainly, most of the houses are made with wood. But this was a very beautiful looking house, and it was made of cement and bricks. And Srila Prabhupada was quite happy first few days. He was translating. In the mornings and evenings, he used to give darshan. And Rishikesh is quite a holy place. It is actually one of the teachers. And a lot of because many people used to come and they had many, many questions. And Prabhupada was such a preacher that when he used to preach, he used to completely forget about time. And so we decided that we should not let Prabhupada spend so much time with them. So the evening darshan also was limited from 5 to 6. Just for 1 hour, and after 6 o'clock we still very politely ask everyone to leave, and those who still wanted to discuss, we used to preach to them. And I remember the first day when Prabhupada decided not to give the morning darshan, but people came. Actually Prabhupada used to give the darshan, morning darshan he used to give on the roof, and the evening darshan he used to be in his room. So the day he decided not to go, actually Kamalakrishna Maharaj asked him not to go and waste his time, spend his time with them. So when Prabhupada decided not to go and give the darshan, I was actually asked to give a class, and I was quite new at that time. Anyway, it was Prabhupada's instruction, so I had to go up. And those days, Prabhupada was actually, although his health was not so good, but still he was quite well. He was translating, he was eating, and we were just a handful of devotees with Srila Prabhupada. Tamalakrishna Maharaj was Prabhupada's secretary, and Upendra Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant. And then Trivikram Maharaj and two other devotees actually came to arrange the place before Srila Prabhupada arrived. So they also stayed for a few days, but then they left. And Pradyumna Prabhu also was there. And Jadugar Prabhu joined us one day, and he stayed through. And it was very nice, like the house was next to the Ganges, and after the morning, when I used to cook, and I was cooking for Srila Prabhupada those days, you know, all the devotees used to go to the Ganges and swim. They used to actually float in the logs. In that part of the Ganges, in the hills, up in the mountains rather, they cut the logs and they float them to the Ganges, and then they collect them at some place. So that was the means of transportation. The logs used to float, and the devotees used to just swim, catching on the logs. And then after feeding Srila Prabhupada, after serving Srila Prabhupada, I also used to go and join them. Then all of a sudden, one day the weather turned very bad. It was very windy, stormy. It was raining constantly for 2 days. And then in the storm, the electric line got disrupted, broken, and there was no electricity for 2 days, and the whole place became very ominous, so to say. And then one night, Srila Prabhupada, at night we used to be with Srila Prabhupada. We used to have our shift for 2 hours, and each of us used to be with Srila Prabhupada for 2 hours at night. So my shift was from 12 to 2. So during that time, Srila Prabhupada called me. I was just attending Srila Prabhupada in his room. Srila Prabhupada was lying in his bed. So he just called me, and he told me that the time has come for me to leave this planet, and please take me to Vrindavan. It was such a... I didn't know how to react, so I immediately ran downstairs and woke up Tamalakrishna Maharaj and told him what Prabhupada was saying. And Tamalakrishna Maharaj also immediately ran upstairs to Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada told him the same thing, the time has come for him to leave this planet. And so he wanted to give up his body in Vrindavan, so he wanted us to take him to Vrindavan. So that night only we packed up everything, and the next morning, actually we thought that we would take Prabhupada by train, because the car wouldn't have been very comfortable for Srila Prabhupada. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj and I went to the railway station in Haridwar, but there was no success, because all the first class... Actually, we were thinking of getting the whole compartment for Srila Prabhupada, or the first class compartment for Srila Prabhupada, to go to Delhi, and then from there we would have taken him to Vrindavan. But what to speak of the whole compartment, we couldn't even get one seat in the first class. So all the seats were booked. So then we decided to take Srila Prabhupada by his car, and so the next morning we drove Srila Prabhupada to Delhi. Srila Prabhupada stopped in Delhi for the night, and Tamalakrishna Maharaj called up all the temples. He actually called London and New York, and told them what Srila Prabhupada said and asked them to convey the message to all the other temples in the world, and that they did. So next morning Srila Prabhupada drove to Vrindavan, and when the devotees heard that Srila Prabhupada was coming to Vrindavan, they were very, very excited, but they didn't know why Srila Prabhupada was coming. Srila Prabhupada went to the temple, had the darshan of the deities, and Govindam Adipurusham was playing. And then after the darshan, Srila Prabhupada went to his room, and all the devotees followed him. And there Srila Prabhupada broke the news. Prabhupada told them that he came to Vrindavan to give up his body. And the devotees were so excited that they were so happy that Srila Prabhupada came. And this news completely broke their heart. And many of them started to cry. Srila Prabhupada consoled them by saying that it's inevitable. He quoted from Bhagavad Gita and explained that the body is perishable. Anything that is born must die. And anything that dies must again be born. But the spirit soul is eternal, and the spirit soul never dies. It's only the body that dies. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada very eloquently, very profoundly explained. And then when all the devotees left the room, Srila Prabhupada called me, and we didn't even unpack Prabhupada's things. Prabhupada called me and told me, don't force me to eat. So what's the use of eating when I don't have any appetite? So don't give me anything to eat, don't force me to eat, and don't cook also. So I was completely helpless, and I could feel that Prabhupada was now going to prepare himself. Now Prabhupada is going to stop eating, and then he will give up his body. At that time it seemed like Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, when he got to know that he had only 7 days, he just went to the bank of the Ganges, sat there in prior probation, and he stopped eating and drinking. And actually Prabhupada did not eat anything for 3 days. And when in the meantime the devotees came, senior devotees from all over the world arrived in Vrindavan, and they all had a meeting. And in that meeting they decided that they can't let Prabhupada leave now. And Prabhupada is a pure devotee, so if Prabhupada wanted, then Krishna would grant him his desire. So if Prabhupada wanted to stay, then Krishna would let him stay. So Srila Prabhupada, devotees came to Srila Prabhupada's room. Srila Prabhupada was lying in his bed, and Kirtananda Maharaj, as the spokesman of all the devotees, started to tell Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, we all are so young, and in our spiritual life we are so young, and you are our father, and you are our only shelter. And if you leave now, what's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to our spiritual life? And while speaking, Kirtananda Maharaj broke down crying. And then Srila Prabhupada sat up and he said, well, if you all desire that, then I will stay. And everybody became so happy. So, and then Prabhupada
said that it was very silent spoke here. So this is what communicating Krishna. And then he sat up and he said, Krishna will allow me to, he's allowing me to say something.
No, yeah, that's wonderful. And Srila Prabhupada then started to eat again. He first drank some fruit juice. He had some grape juice for Srila Prabhupada. And although Srila Prabhupada was not eating anything or drinking anything, but from time to time I was always making some juice. Prabhupada stopped me from cooking, so I couldn't cook. And so I had some grape juice, green grape juice ready. And so Srila Prabhupada drank that. And I started to cook again. And Srila Prabhupada started to eat. Then one day, I think that was the second day of when Srila Prabhupada started to eat again. Either second or third day, I don't recall specifically clearly. Srila Prabhupada asked me whether I knew where Gopinath Bazar was. So that was my first visit to Vrindavan. So I told Prabhupada that although I don't know Gopinath where it is, but I could find out. No problem. I said, please tell me what you want, Srila Prabhupada. Then Prabhupada said, well, then get somebody who knows, who is local. So, but I insisted. I thought, if there is any service, then let me do it. So I insisted, Prabhupada, tell me, it's not difficult. I'll just get a rickshaw, I'll just go to the place and tell me what you want. Then Srila Prabhupada said, okay. In Gopinath Bazar, there is Kaviraj, there is an Ayurvedic doctor called Banomali Kaviraj. So you go to him and tell him about me. You remind him that he treated me before, just in case he didn't remember me. And you ask him to come. So I just went to Gopinath Bazar. I found Banamali Kaviraj. He was a very, very old man. And so I told him about Prabhupada. So he immediately remembered. And he told me, then I told him that Prabhupada's health was not good and Prabhupada wanted him to treat him. So he said, look, I can't go. Maybe you have to bring him here. Then I said, well, you can't bring him here. You have to come. So he said, look, I can't go because I'm too old to go anywhere. I just come to the dispensary and then go back home, just between the dispensary and my house, which is only one block from the dispensary. That's the only distance that he could cover. So I told him that, well, I'll take you in a rickshaw. So he said, rickshaw, so when the rickshaws bounce because of the bad road, then he feels pain all over the body. So I kept on insisting and then finally he agreed. I practically touched his feet and begged him to come. So finally he came, agreed to come in a rickshaw. First time, I mean, that was that time. And the next time, I used to take him in a car and drop him off back in a car. So, he came in a rickshaw, and he checked all that, and he detected, he diagnosed what was wrong with the person. But then he had a problem. He said that the medicine that he will give, that has to be made and administered to the person.
So I told him, well, if you show me, then I will do it myself. I can do it, I can prepare the medicine. So somehow he became convinced. So he showed, he took me out to the field, and he showed me some herbs and some roots. There's this Kumarnava. This herb is very, very easily available in Vrindavan. I think called Kumarnava. And the leaves of Kumarnava, no, the roots of Kumarnava, and a leaf of a tree called Pakurkuti. And it was, the juice was taken out of these two medicines in such a quantity, they were mixed together. And he gave some salt. He gave two things. I remember one was actually sodium nitrate. And the other one I don't remember. So I started giving that medicine to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's condition started to improve gradually. And the man used to come every day and sit Srila Prabhupada. And he also was happy with the improvement. But when Srila Prabhupada's condition started to improve, he started becoming restless. He wanted to go to the west to sleep. Often he would make comments like, a soldier never dies on bed. And it's a disgrace for a soldier to die in bed. And Tamasisya Maharaj used to pick him up also, saying that how devotees are waiting for him to go to the west. And then Srila Prabhupada finally made a plan to go to London, then from London to New York, then from New York to Dipanagari, from Dipanagari to New Vrindavan, from New Vrindavan to Los Angeles, and from Los Angeles to Hawaii. And he wanted to stay in Hawaii and transfer. So, Srila Prabhupada made time making the plan, and but when the Kavigas got to know about that, then he was very disappointed. He said, please don't let him go now, because his condition is improving, and now it's summertime. That's why there are certain medicines that I want to give, I can't give now. He actually meant that Prabhupada's condition is improving, and he wants to give some other medicine that would build up Srila Prabhupada. That medicine was very hot. So he was waiting for the winter to administer that medicine. And but Srila Prabhupada was determined, Tamakrishna Maharaj also was in encouraging Prabhupada to go. So my voice was quite faint, and I also could not really insist strong enough. And today, often I feel very bad. I felt that probably I should have insisted. But those days, I used to think that Prabhupada is transcendental, and Prabhupada is not subject to any medical treatment. And so finally, Srila Prabhupada decided to leave. Prabhupada's flight was in the morning. So at midnight, at about 1 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada, he was waiting, all dressed up, he was sitting on a chair upstairs in his room. And I was sitting at his feet. So Srila Prabhupada asked me, he was under the impression that I was going with him. So he asked, aren't you coming? So I said, no, Srila Prabhupada. I told him that I didn't have my passport with me. So Prabhupada said, okay, then you join me in Hawaii. So that night, Srila Prabhupada drove from Vrindavan to Delhi, and he took a flight to London. That was about 2 days before Janmashtami.
So that Janmashtami Prabhupada was spent in London. And but Prabhupada's condition started to deteriorate when he was in London, and he actually had to have an operation. And then he had to cancel all the program and come back to India. First he came to Bombay and then to Vrindavan. After Prabhupada left for the West, I came back to Mayapur. One day I got a telegram and Prabhupada was asking me to go back to Vrindavan to meet him. So I went back to Vrindavan. But when I saw Srila Prabhupada, I arrived there in the evening. Prabhupada was resting. He had some cough and he took some medicine, some sort of expectorant. And that has some sort of a sleeping effect. So Prabhupada was resting. And I just entered into Prabhupada's room. And Upendra Prabhu was there. And at one time Srila Prabhupada started to cough. And he woke up. And then Upendra Prabhu asked him. Upendra Prabhu told him that I was there. So Prabhupada asked where I was, and he wanted me to come close. So I came to the bed, and Prabhupada became so thin. Already Prabhupada was thin, but now he was even half of what he was. And I told him, Prabhupada became so thin. So Prabhupada said, look, now this body is just some bones in a bag of skin. And although Prabhupada was so physically, he appeared to be so thin and weak, but spiritually, or rather consciousness-wise, there was no change. He was the same. But his consciousness was clear. And around that time, Prabhupada was spending quite some time giving directions about his will, about the different shots, about how the finances should be controlled. And so that shows that in spite of such physical condition, Prabhupada was very, very alert. His consciousness was completely clear. And at that time, as you all know, Prabhupada was still continuing to translate. And Prabhupada actually translated the 10th canto, 10th to 13th chapter, 14th chapter, around that time. And though the purport was so sublime, and towards the later part, Prabhupada actually used to translate in a different way. Prabhupada could not even sit up and translate. Prabhupada was just used to lie on the bed. Pradyumna Prabhu used to read the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and somebody used to hold the microphone in Prabhupada's mouth, and Prabhupada used to translate. In this way, it was absolutely clear that Srila Prabhupada was transcendental to this material nature. That apparently material body was withering, but his consciousness was completely unaffected. And at that time, one day Prabhupada had a dream that a Ramanuja Kaviraj was seeking him. And we started to look for a Ramanuji, Vaishnava Kaviraj, and then now one couldn't find one. Then finally, Adrit Dharan Prabhu got one Kaviraj from Calcutta and took him to Vrindavan. And he was from a Ramanuja Sampradaya. And he also confirmed, he once told Prabhupada, we can't understand you. So sometimes when I see your thoughts, it seems that
you're about to leave your body, and then 5 minutes after that, when I feel your pulse, it seems as if you're like that young, you're healthy as that, your body is healthy as a young man. And in this way he also confirmed how Srila Prabhupada was completely transcendental, and these are all his past times.
I remember one incident when Srila Prabhupada's sister, Sushila, came. Around that time she came, and she actually stayed through till Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. And Sushila just came to Vrindavan with her son. And when I was told, so I conveyed the message to Prabhupada, then Prabhupada said, ask her to come in. It's a medium for communication. Prabhupada would tell me, and I would relate to her, although she was standing just next to the bed. So Prabhupada asked her if she would like to cook for me. So I told Sushila, Sushila, Prabhupada is asking you whether you'd like to cook for that. Then Sushila said, yes, ask him what he would like to eat. So then I told Prabhupada, related to Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, okay, tell her whatever she wants to cook, she can cook. But Sushila kept on insisting, no, ask him what he would like to eat. And then gradually they started to communicate themselves. So finally, Prabhupada agreed that she could cook some khichdi. And Sushila was very happy. So she just walked into the kitchen. And I also followed her to help her. And she cooked a huge feast actually. Prabhupada wanted the khichdi, and she cooked the feast. Of course, khichdi was there. And at that time, Sitananda Maharaj was there, and he was requesting Prabhupada not to eat that stuff. So Prabhupada just told him, see, she wants to cook for me. I'm just, it'll make her happy. So, but he kept on insisting, he said, no, Prabhupada, you should not eat. Then Prabhupada said, see, I'm already a dead man. So, if I die eating, or if I die starving, it amounts to the same thing. So this was Prabhupada's reason with Sitananda Maharaj. And at one point, Prabhupada actually got very annoyed with him. And then he kept on insisting. So, then finally, the Sharma was ready and got the plate after Sharma. And Srila Prabhupada kissed him, and nothing happened to him. Sushila at one time told me, no, that wasn't in this situation. That was what I cooked. So this is also another nice incident about cooking. Anyway, before that, I just wanted to mention another point. Like Sushila once told me that Prabhupada can even digest stones if he wants. Pot. It was a rope pot on the roof, and I was sitting at his feet. So all of a sudden Prabhupada told me, go and find out what they're cooking. This was before Srila Prabhupada went to England. So he said, he asked, go and find out what they're cooking. So I immediately, and for many days Prabhupada actually didn't eat anything. His condition, his health condition was not so nice, not so good at that time. So I just ran into the Devi kitchen. I was excited that Prabhupada wanted to find out what they're cooking. And Probably Prabhupada would like to take something. And so I, when they were found, Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu was cooking some... He was cooking some kachoris and samosas. And so I came back to untold to the Prabhupada. The Prabhupada, they're making some kachoris and samosas. And I was very happy that Prabhupada wanted to eat something. So I ran. And as I was running, I just came across Samakrishna Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj at the door. So seeing me like that, they asked me, what happened? So I said, Prabhupada wanted to eat some kachoris and samosas. So Samadrisha Maharaj said, no, you can't get kachoris and samosas. So I said, does Prabhupada want it? So he said, no, that Prabhupada can't eat kachoris. So I said, look, Prabhupada want it. And saying that, I just ran to the between the space that was there between two of them. I just stuck to them. And I ran to the kitchen, got to the Prabhupada's plate, and two kachoris and two samosas. They're fighting hot, straight from the frying pan. Not even frying pan, it's a wok. Big frying. And so I brought them to Prabhupada. And Samadhi Maharaj and Bhavananda Prabhu were sitting on the floor. And I gave Prabhupada the plate. The Prabhupada, it was very hot, the Prabhupada first smashed them and then he started to eat them. It was actually very amazing because for a long time Prabhupada didn't eat anything. And Samadhi Maharaj and Bhavananda Maharaj were looking at Prabhupada eating like that. And Prabhupada told them, don't see me. Unless they don't see. And immediately they had blood and they were looking at the floor. And then Samadhi Maharaj was very angry with me because he started chastising me that now he gave him this body stuff and brought him in the way to look at his sleep at night and become even more sick. But then the next, that night, Prabhupada slept like a log, and next morning he was fresh as a baby. Nothing happened to Prabhupada. So this is one. So this is another example, or this is a confirmation what Krishna said, that Prabhupada, if he wanted, he could even digest them. So he could eat anything, and at the same time he could even fast for many minutes. Actually Prabhupada fasted practically for 2.5 months, didn't take anything. Just I had to force him to take some fruit juice and some diluted milk. And from time to time. So as Jayakatana Maharaj is remembering at this incident of Chile, Prabhupada taught me one preparation in Bombay called Bati Chakshu. That's the first preparation Prabhupada taught me. It's a preparation made with potato and potter. And one has to put a lot of first time when Prabhupada showed me, he showed me to cook it with mustard oil and a lot of chili and a lot of turmeric and a lot of mustard oil. And he showed me how to make that. He told me how to make that. And when I cooked that, Prabhupada liked it very much. And that's what Prabhupada wanted to have that preparation. So I cooked, and at that time Prabhupada's stomach was not very good. So I didn't cook so much chili. I thought that it only good for Prabhupada's stomach. And that time I was cooking with ghee because we had Prabhupada's permission not to use mustard oil because mustard oil was quite heavy. so, or rather we persuaded Srila Prabhupada to have much brain, and he agreed to have it with him. So, I didn't put enough chili, and I put just one or two, whereas I should have actually put one or two dozen red chilies broken into pieces. And Prabhupada took a bite, and he got very angry. He said, he told me, why, he asked me, why I didn't put chili. And he just kept on chastising me. He said, I personally taught you how to prepare that, and you already forgot. And he was very, very angry. Not only that time, whenever he saw me, he blasted me, saying what nonsense I was. Not only me, when others went, Prabhupada told them also. And this way, he blasted me for 2 days in a row. Then on the third day, Prabhupada became a little petrified. He was not so heavy, but he asked me how I could forget when he himself taught me. So then I told Prabhupada, I didn't actually forget, but since the stomach was not very good, I decided not to keep it. Then Prabhupada said, then why didn't you tell me all this? And then Prabhupada told me, actually, when there is a lot of tea, you must put a lot of tea, because the counteract is coming. A lot of red chili and a lot of ghee neutralize. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. Then actually Prabhupada's condition started to deteriorate. He was not as I said, like, he was very weak, like he couldn't, what to speak of, he thought, he couldn't even turn on his side. And we had to actually turn him on his side whenever we wanted. And we had to do it very carefully, because if we are not careful, then it could hurt him. And around that time, Lokanath Maharaj came back from his Bulakar tour, and he also mentioned to Srila Prabhupada that he went to Kedarnath, he went to Badrinath, and then he mentioned that he went to the cave of that place, and there he offered Srila Prabhupada's book to that place. And then he mentioned that they went to a place where Bhima left his body. The Pandavas left in Mahaprasthan, and one after another, they started to walk towards the Himalayas. And one after another, Draupadi, then Sahadev, then Nakul, then Arjun, and then Bhim, gave up their body while walking without taking any food. This was a way to give up their body. So Bhima was the last one to give up his body, and he went all the way up to Badrinath, further up from Badrinath, and there he left his body. And so soon after that, Srila Prabhupada actually told Lokanath Maharaj that he wanted to go for a Govardhan Parikha. So everyone got very excited that Prabhupada was going out on Govardhan Parikha. But we were, those who were serving Srila Prabhupada as a servant, we knew Prabhupada's condition. And we felt that there's no way Prabhupada can go out. And my first impression was that Prabhupada was actually going out on a sort of a Mahaprasthan. Like while doing the parikrama of Govardhan, he wanted to give up his body. So I immediately told Anantasya Maharaj and Bhavanandi Maharaj that that's what God was planning. And they also tell that it's impossible for Prabhupada to go out in a bullock cart. And in the meantime, the bullock cart was blocked. It was standing next to a guest house. And yeah, all the arrangements were made. And everybody, or most of the devotees, were very excited that now Prabhupada is going out on a collection of Govardhan. Because that was just around the time of Govardhan Puja. And then there was no way we could actually convince to the Prabhupada. In the meantime, Samadrisha Maharaj made a plan that at 2 o'clock he would come. Oh no, at 1 o'clock he would come to Srila Prabhupada at night. When no one would be around, he would try to convince Prabhupada not to go. So in the meantime, that evening, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, who was very close to Prabhupada, had a very friendly relationship with him, and he was supposed to come to speak to the Prabhupada. So I thought that I would ask Babaji Maharaj to tell Prabhupada not to go in the temple. And when I was waiting for Babaji Maharaj to come in the evening, and then at one time I went to the kitchen to prepare something for the Prabhupada. And when I came back, I found that Babaji Maharaj is already there, and Prabhupada and Babaji Maharaj are consulting. Prabhupada already told Babaji Maharaj about his Govardhan Parikrama, and Babaji Maharaj was also very excited. And Prabhupada was inviting Babaji Maharaj to also join the Parikrama. So my last hope also was gone. But then I devised a plan. I thought I made a plate of prasad, and then I came and told Prabhupada that I brought some prasad for Babaji Maharaj. So Prabhupada said, okay, bring it here. So I said, no Prabhupada, I have it in the next room. So this Prabhupada told Babaji Maharaj, so Babaji Maharaj, you keep going to the prasad. So Babaji Maharaj came and he was taking prasad. So then I explained that this is our Prabhupada's conviction and our Srimad Mahaprasthan. And right after that, the Prabhupada was saying that he wants to go out and get over from Parikrama. So it seems that Prabhupada is going to leave his body in this place. Prabhupada is planning to leave his body in this place. So then Babaji Maharaj said, then he should not go. Then I said, but Babaji Maharaj, you don't listen to anyone. The only person who can convince him now is just you. So Babaji Maharaj said, I said, yes, you say you are the only one who listens to, because we can't actually tell him. So then Babaji Maharaj just walked up to Prabhupada and said, I heard everything and we can't go on this Parikrama. So then Prabhupada said, okay Babaji Maharaj, if you feel that way, then I want to. And I became so happy, I just ran to tell Samadhisya Maharaj, who was in the guest house. And when I was climbing up the stairs, I saw him and Bhavananda Maharaj coming down. And so I told them, and in the meantime they became so exasperated that they couldn't wait for any longer. They thought that now they would come and convince Prabhupada not to go. So they also came running, and some of the devotees who were actually in favor of Prabhupada going on Parikrama, when they saw us coming like that, and they also were coming, following us, thinking what was happening. But as
I want to know. God would like you to sit in Vrindavan. It's in harmony, everything is passing and getting around. Like remembering in 1971, there was a panel program at Teshapriya Park in Calcutta, and my service was to decorate the altar, small other money was there at that time. And decorating Prabhupada with Vyasa sign. And in front of this Vyasa sign, I made a design of the symbol of self-realization. What is described in Brahma Samhita as the hexagonal? We find the shapes that represent the world of Vrindavan. And I designed right in front on the floor and made in the flowers. Then when Prabhupada arrived, it was a family program, and he walked over to the ashram, and when he got to this temple, he paused and he just looked at it for a while. And then very deliberately, he stepped right into it and put that thing on. And he put that up. And he just sat on it, the ashram, and he began speaking. So, this is Prabhupada's position, that he never actually appears and he never actually disappears. So, the Prabhupada is always situated at the lotus feet of Krishna. Although he appears and appears to disappear, and constantly traveling around the world. In movement every few years to bank room something down. So no we go to such extent to build a gap there, but it depends on permanently situated that they are doing now, then it is quite easy to build gas and be permanently. So in this way we can engage the government can also engage in fulfilling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. That makes for most spiritual advancement. So let's see, they should do it, that is first, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyway, the temple that Mahaprabhu predicted, and not simply Mahaprabhu was both of, and what should Prabhupada asked us to construct. Is very unique because it is the Lord's personal desire and it's the Lord's personal temple, it's in his own birthplace. And when that temple is completed and Radha Madhava Sakya